You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans. Presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
Dairy Brothers Tribecast for another week on a Monday, June the 7th. What's going on, everybody? Matt and Todd with you on WaitingForNextYear.com. We're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry, the great Dr. Ben Hornstein, and of course, BreakingTee.com for the best t-shirts. When it comes to your favorite teams, go to BreakingTee.com/dairy. What a weird week of Indians baseball. Rainouts, days off, and then they go to Baltimore this weekend and just lay a stink bomb, including yesterday, Todd, giving up 18 runs in what we're going to call the Cedric Mullins weekend, because they just couldn't get that guy out.
Cedric Mullins, a member of 10% capacity. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
He was on fire this weekend, huh? He's a really good player. You know, talk about someone the Indians could use in center field.
That's an understatement.
That would be good. Yeah. I really liked what I saw from him, but, you know, this is an Orioles talk.
Like, talk about the Orioles, actually.
Oh, man, we could do a whole show on the Orioles the way they were swinging the bats this weekend.
It was a gross weekend, to say the least. You know, I'm not going to say this team is at a crossroads, but it's an interesting time because they're still right there, you know, in the division. I mean, the White Sox are clearly better than the Indians. There's no two ways about it. But the Indians just keep hanging around. You thought this weekend you get, you know, this is, you look at the schedule coming up, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, but this is the time to make hay. You're playing the Orioles twice this month, the Mariners, who aren't any good, and it's a big stretch of games.
The Pirates.
The Buccos. This is the time to make some hay. And losing two of three this weekend to that horrible Orioles team, and especially the way they lost on Sunday, was gross. I mean, Friday night's game we can get into. I say they shouldn't have lost that game, but when you score one run and the offense doesn't do anything and these guys have to be perfect every single time out, whether it's the starting pitcher or the bullpen or both, your margin for error is so small. So I don't know. I'm a little frustrated, to say the least.
You should be. Yesterday, of course, the Indians lost 18-5. Quantrill didn't really have it. But again, here's the thing. I mean, these games all are the same when the Indians get blown out. And they've gotten blown out quite a few times this year. But when they do get blown out, it always starts with the defense. Not hitting cutoff men. Miscommunication in the outfield. An error in the infield. A poor throw. It's ridiculous. And to me, I rarely get on Terry Francona because I think Tito's the greatest manager probably in the history of this franchise. But they've got to stop putting certain guys in certain spots where they shouldn't be or leave them there and let them learn there. I mean, you know, Harold Ramirez is not a center fielder and shouldn't be in center field. So if you're playing Bradley Zimmer all week and he seems to be your center fielder, then a righty pitches on Sunday, but Bradley's not in the lineup, but Harold is, and he's in center, and you have to have Harold in the lineup because he's the only one hitting, but he can't play center. I mean, and then Quantrill throws the ball away. Rene Rivera, you know, whether he should have made the play or not on kind of a wounded duck into the dirt on what would have been a 1-2-3 double play. Right, but still, all of these plays get magnified because the offense is just not very good. And so you give teams extra outs. The Indians don't have a team that can slug 12, 13 runs in a game and win a game 10-9 or 10-8. And it's brutal. I, Amed Rosario shouldn't be at shortstop, but he has to be because he's the only one that can hit at that position, at least now. And so that's where it's frustrating, Todd. I mean, the defense is horrible. Harold Ramirez should never play center field. But again, he has to play because he's hitting. He's a really good hitter.
Yeah. And we said this last week, and I'll say it again, after watching these games this weekend. It's the worst defensive Indians team of our lifetime. I don't ever remember seeing a team. And it's not a couple games a week that look bad. Every single friggin' game is that huge mistakes are made. Like you said, you know, listen, they got smoked yesterday. I'm not going to sit here and go the defense cost them a game. But when fly balls hit out to Harold in center and he breaks back and it's clearly when he should break in, and then the ball drops in front of him, and then there's a double play ball hitting right back to Quantrill, and he, you know, throws it wide of Renee because he panicked. These are like little league plays. And to your point, Harold's got to play right now. The way Handsome Harold is swinging the bat. By the way, I don't like this big Harold crap. I don't like that. Let's go with Handsome Harold, please. Handsome, hard hitting Harold. Okay. That's what
I don't know if I want to hear Matt Underwood calling anybody handsome, though.
Big Harold, little Big Harold.
I know, it's nonstop.
And whenever they score first, and the Indians will play from in front. I mean, can we get some originality every once in a while? All
right, it's the same broadcast. It's the same broadcast every game.
Thank God for Andre. That's all I can say. Anyways.
Although Manning did torch Jake Bowers the other night.
You know what? Rick was really good on a couple of things. Yeah, he said the first thing he said when Bobby Bradley got the hit was like, well, it's about time. Been waiting long enough to see this. He clearly wanted Bowers out. It was so good. Yeah, I know I tweeted the quote, but it was something to the effect of, you know, I don't know why we had to wait this long to see this, whatever it was, but we'll get into Bobby Bradley later. But to your point, Harold's not a center fielder, but he has to play. I don't understand why Zimmer didn't play yesterday either. Zimmer's been good, and the way he's playing defensively, you need someone out there in center who's actually going to do something. And you have an off day today, so I didn't quite understand the need for him to sit. I mean,
Has Zimmer been good? I mean, I think he's been serviceable.
Serviceable, yes. But when your team, like when we're discussing what butchers they are, and to have an outfield of a guy who plays center field and Harold Ramirez, who's not a center fielder, Naylor, who's not a right fielder, and Eddie Rosario, who's fine. You know, I mean, like every once in a while, you got to do something. And Zimmer doesn't need any days off to get it. They didn't play on Wednesday. They didn't play on Thursday. And they're not playing on Monday. And I can't believe I'm sitting here clamoring for Bradley Zimmer to play.
I know.
Every day,
that, like, that's the state.
It gets magnified this defense is so fucking bad.
It's the state of this franchise right now because it just, you know, we just can't develop any outfielders. I think I texted you in the executive producer yesterday that the unnamed team DFA'd Jacoby Jones, who was their opening day center fielder. I mean, Bradley Zimmer is sort of the left-handed version of Jacoby Jones, you know, can really go and get it out in center, but just can't hit. Now, Zimmer's come up, and he was 5 for his first 15, so you're like, whoa, not bad, you know. But again, there's nobody doing any kind of run producing. I mean, you know, when Bowers had his decent run, it was 3 singles, you know. Zimmer gets on with some singles. Now, that's been the nice thing about Bobby Bradley is it's been extra bases. But man, oh man, it just, again, just going back to the original point, Todd, you have to catch the ball. When your offense isn't very good, you're starting pitching outside of 2 guys isn't very good, and your defense isn't very good, how the hell is this team 31-26? That seriously.
Really amazing. It is. You're totally right. And it's a testament to the grit of this group. We talked about this last time. Like you said earlier, we get blown out quite a bit, which is true. We do get blown out quite a bit. We're never blowing anybody out. Every game the Indians win is 4-2 or 3-1 or 2-0. You know,
even Saturday, it's a blowout. It's 10-4, and he has to bring Karinchak and Class A in.
Well, he didn't have to. When they were up 9-4 and I saw Shaw was warming, I'm like, what is he doing? But then I forgot they didn't play Wednesday and Thursday. So they kind of had to get hot. You know what I mean?
I guess.
You're going to have to use them because, again, with an off day Monday, then, you know what I mean? Like, listen, I mean, we talked about this before, but the overuse of the big three, is well documented at this point. But he had to get these guys in work. They just had to pitch with all the off days.
I guess you're right. I mean, he did have who I think he brought Blake Kenny Parker in the other day, and the guy couldn't even get out of that inning. He had to bring Karinchak in a 9-4 game or 10-4 game. But you're right. The schedule this week was really strange, and I like this off day today, kind of getting ready for two games in a National League park and lining up your pitching to where, you know, Bieber can pitch twice this week and so can Savali. Well, not so can Savali, but you know what I mean? You can line it up how you want and figure out really where this is going, because you've got some guys on the team that when they trot out there, you forget they're playing. You forget they're on the team. There's too many.
Kyle Nelson is the one I always forget.
Right. Why is he on the team? Let him even be at AAA and get outs. Poor kid came in yesterday and he hadn't pitched in it forever and he got lit up.
Yeah, they're carrying too many pitchers, and I think that they were put in this predicament because basically they have two starters, and you know, until Plesac comes back, then they have three starters. But we can go into this now. I over the last 2 weeks, when you're trying to figure out who they're going to trot out there, I mean, essentially, if you know, I think Plesac will be back within the next 3 weeks or so. At least it sounds like he and Roberto are both going to meet with the doctor today on the off day and get an update, and we could hear something, you know, hopefully tonight that, hey, you know, it's healing and he can start throwing, whatever it might be. But they don't really need a fifth starter for another week and a half. Right now, honestly, the way Quantrill was no good. We didn't even, last week when we had this conversation, which seemingly we have every week, we totally forgot to mention Quantrill.
We did.
Because we were talking about Eli Morgan and his debut, and now Eli Morgan's down, and we were talking about Sam Henches, and Sam came in yesterday in relief.
Oh, my God.
It was awful again. And so I don't know how you can trot Sam out there again for another start. We talked about this last week, but he's only made one start where he's pitched five innings or more, and it was five innings, and he has not been good. So,
well, you can't start Sam again against Seattle or Baltimore, the two teams after St. Louis, because both of those teams have seen him. The next time you want Henches to start is against a team that hasn't seen him yet. Now, again, it's Seattle and Baltimore. Who cares? It could be much better, but his confidence is shot. And here's the biggest stat, and I think I saw this on Indians Pro or whatever, on Indians Perspective on Twitter. You know, Bieber and Savali's ERA is like 3 together, and then everybody else's is over 7, the starters' ERA. Over 7 when you trot out everybody else, and that's a major problem.
And they're not pitching deep into the game, and that's why they're carrying 85 you know, relievers, because Henches, right now, Mejia's only stretched out to 55 pitches. Henches hasn't made it past 5. McKenzie was basically a 5-inning pitcher. Morgan got lit up in his one start. In Quantrill basically is at most throwing, you know, 60 pitches or so. So they're in this predicament. But as of right now, I think the next guy, Henches has to go. I'm sorry. He's got to go down. He's been bad. I mean, he has shown me nothing to prove that he should be in this rotation right now. So right now, I personally think your next best option, the way everybody's been pitching, it's got to be Tristan McKenzie. Did you see what he did yesterday in his AAA start?
Five scoreless innings, and he seems to have his mojo back. The announcement to him, at least, that you're going down, and then he ended up not really going to Columbus was, I think, a wake-up call, because really his last three starts, two with the big club and the one with Columbus yesterday, were a good sign. And he's so talented, maybe he just needed a kick in the ass a little bit. But you're right. I mean, right now, if you had to slot it and say, who are the four guys that you're willing to go with off days in between here on Monday and Thursday, today and Thursday, it would be Bieber, Savali, Mejia, and McKenzie.
Well, exactly.
And I think an issue that has to be brought up, and somebody in this organization is going to have this conversation, is maybe, just maybe, Cal Quantrill and Sam Hinchis are both just better out of the bullpen. And yeah. And because I know the plan has always been that those guys are starters, but look at Quantrill's splits as a starter and a reliever. They are drastically different. I mean, he is much better as a reliever than as a starter. And Hinchis could be a 1-2 inning big lefty that comes in and throws 97, because when he's starting, he's not hitting 97 anymore. So they need to make that determination pretty quickly here. Because you're going to get Plesac back. So maybe there's when Plesac's healthy, maybe that's your five. Mejia looks decent. Yeah. Mejia looks decent.
And he gives you a little bit of a different look with the changing of the speeds than the rest of the guys. So I do think that Mejia deserves the longer look. I mean, listen, they gave Hinchis over a month. He's had plenty of options, opportunities to look good. They gave McKenzie a ton of leash. And when they did send him down, and like you said, he didn't actually pitch, but since that demotion, he had two big league starts and one AAA start where he's been great. So I think those are your two guys. I want to see more from Mejia for sure. I'm hoping that next time out, they get him at least up to 75 pitches or whatever it might be. And to your point, Cal Quantrill was really good in his bullpen role earlier.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
And maybe that's where he's going to be at his best. But they're going to have to patch together a third option until Plesac gets back for you know, maybe one or two starts. And maybe they just do a piggyback with Quantrill and Hinchis, and they keep them both up. Or maybe they do try Eli Morgan one more time and see what happens there. Or, you know what, Scott Moss is back and healthy, and maybe, you know, he, after a couple more starts in AAA, they give him one start. So who knows? The biggest issue is here is that this team is supposed to be built on its starting pitching, and basically they have two starters until Plesac comes back, and then when Plesac comes back, it's three starters, and then God only knows what's coming after that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the McKenzie stuff is good. I think that that is a good sign, and you know that he's talented. So hopefully now something between the ears got there and some sort of message, because he's been much more under control and has been successful over his last three starts. And striking out eight straight White Sox is a major accomplishment. He didn't do that against, you know, the unnamed team or Pittsburgh. I mean, that or Seattle, that was Chicago. And they are clearly the best team in our division. Mejia, yeah, let's see what he does on Wednesday. Pitch him on Wednesday. Bieber will pitch Tuesday. Let that kid pitch Wednesday against a very good Cardinal lineup, and we'll talk about it. Very right-handed heavy, though. And see how he does. And you know, again, maybe he pitches, throws 60 to 65 this time. You've got enough arms in the pen that you can patch games that way. But, you know, you always knew, Todd, we've talked about it since we've started the podcast this season, that the offense was going to be an issue. There's just not enough offense. Franmil's still hurt. Roberto's been out. And when, you know, the catching spot doesn't give you a lot of offense without him. And, you know, so it's tough. But you always knew you could rely on the starters, and now you're down to two that you can rely on, and that's not going to win you enough games.
No, it is not. And I would like, you know, I with the amount of bullpen arms they're carrying, like you said, that's right. But they could probably use another bat, and like we talked about it earlier, I mean, if Kyle Nelson's going to pitch basically one or two innings a week, why is he up? Give me another bat in that spot. But, you know, you know what I think we should do? We should stop here before we get into the position player talk. Let's talk a little teeth, okay?
Oh, I'm down.
Yeah.
Talk about a place where guys can be guys, all right.
I got a text from my friend, the great Dr. Borland, who sent me a screenshot. He was in a medical building this week, and it was a screenshot of a list of doctors, and right on there said Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein, and right underneath that, Dr. Sean Slessel. And he wrote, "Look where I am, America's finest dentist."
Did Adam go in there? Did he go in and say hello?
I don't know if he did or not.
Because you can. Because you can.
No, that's true.
They're an inviting environment.
That's a great
call. You know?
That is actually a great call. You know, you're pretty smart. I will give you that.
Stop. If you think about that, think about if Borland went in there and said, hey, Dr. Ben Ornstein, love the Dairy Brothers Tribecast. I mean, imagine.
He would love him. He would keep him in there for 20 minutes to talk about it. Because that's my man, Doc. He just, anybody who loves the Dairy Brothers, he loves, which I respect. But anyways, if you're looking for a great dentist on the east side in a fun and relaxed atmosphere, go to cfad.net or give him a call at 216. Hang on one second. I got to tell you another thing.
Yes.
My lady, the great Sandy.
Yeah.
She has been taking care of our family. No joke. Sandy's been my hygienist for probably 25 years. She has done such a great job, and Sandy deserves a ton of credit because she's a great person. She has always really done a good job of putting me at ease. Because, you know, when they're taking those things into your teeth and they're scratching to get that plaque off, you're like, this sucks, and they're picking at your gums. Sandy just relaxes.
This is some breakdown right now, she's
terrific. But anyways, check them out, cfad.net, or give them a call at 216-595-1710. You can check them out. You can use Dr. Ben, you can use Dr. Sean, anything you might need, smile reconstruction or just a regular teeth cleaning. Please do yourself a favor and get on over to Orange Place, cfad.net, 216-595-1710.
That was some breakdown right there.
Thank you.
I'm expecting to hear about, expecting you to tell me about the weekend at B's Pool. I mean, geez, you were really breaking it down. All right,
and I ran into B at Maxie's. Shout out to the best Italian restaurant in Little Italy, except for the fact that they ran out of pizzas on a Saturday night.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Actually, yesterday...
2 years because of the pandemic, and all I wanted was the Little Italy pizza. And
actually, yesterday...
Yeah, that was the end of that.
Yesterday, we were at one of our favorite spots here, Brown Iron Brew House, and they have great fries, and they were out of fries. It was a Sunday at 2.
Who runs out of fries?
I know. They were running to their Royal Oak location to get more, but we missed out. Whatever.
Yesterday, let me ask you a question. Yesterday at AJ's graduation, did you wear a Breaking Tea T-shirt by chance?
No, I had a collared shirt on. But you did see on Friday, I was at another establishment and took a selfie with some drunks. I thought it'd be funny. And my wife did not think it was that funny, but my buddy Mark was with us, and he took a picture of me taking the picture, and you recognized, wait a minute, you're wearing the Tristan McKenzie stick shirt. So
I did.
That's one of my favorite shirts. It's just comfortable. All the shirts you get from BreakingTea.com are so comfortable, soft. And if you want Tribe gear, whether it's the Jose Ramirez home run pitch shirt, the Jordan Luplo shirt, Fronimal shirt, the McKenzie shirt, whatever it is, you go to BreakingTea.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y, and get it. Brown's gear, whether it's, you know, for the summer, you want, again, these shirts, and you know this, Todd, they're comfortable, they're soft, fit well. BreakingTea.com/dairy. If you're into the NBA playoffs and you've got a team you're rooting for, because Lord knows the team you root for back there doesn't make the playoffs, you know, you want a shirt like a Giannis shirt, they got it all. You know, what's his name? Jokic, you know, the Joker, Denver, maybe you're adopting them. They've got Jokic shirts. They've got it all at BreakingTea.com. Just go there, BreakingTea.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y, and hop on the Cleveland Collection, get whatever you need at Breaking Tea. Soon, Todd, they're going to have to make a Hunger Strike is Over shirt, because the other day we kind of got tipped off by a very good source that... a change was coming after Friday's game, thank goodness, and Jake Bowers' run is over. It's incredible how Bobby Bradley comes up and has like as many extra base hits in two games as Jake Bowers had in like 60, 50. I mean, it's just, at least it's over, but what a waste of time April and May was, and late March, having to trot out Jake Bowers against righties at first base. Bobby Bradley is up from Columbus. I told you he was bored down there. He had been at AAA for 4 years or whatever it was. So he comes up and starts hitting, which is nice to see. Home run yesterday, going oppo, a couple of doubles. Let's play the kid. I don't care where you have him, a DH or first base. Let him swing it and let's go.
Absolutely. The stat was this. In 43 games, 100 at-bats, Jake Bowers had 5 extra base hits and drove in 6 runs. In Bobby Bradley's first 5 at-bats, he had 3 extra base hits and drove in 3 runs. Two doubles and a homer. Pretty amazing. Now, when the hunger strike, you were going back on the hunger strike starting on Monday, today, as we're recording.
No, that was last week. That was last week I said that. But I didn't.
Oh, it was June 1st. Sorry. It was June
1st. Yeah, but I didn't stick with it. I wussed out. But
well, of course. But
I was good for that 1 week.
Yes, you were. You were. It was a great bit. And I know that the executive producer loved it, too. I will say this. I think I said at the beginning of the year, June 1st was the date for Jake Bowers because it's basically 60 days. I think they would have gotten rid of him earlier had Framil Reyes not gotten hurt. I think it kind of forced their hand. I completely agree with you, and I've said this to many people, that when they're like, oh, well, Bobby Bradley's striking out too much, he's not hitting in AAA. The guy's been in AAA for 3 years. I mean, I literally saw a in my time hop, I'll talk and pull it up at the same time. But I saw in my time hop today a tweet from literally 3 years ago, me complaining about the offense and going, and Bobby Bradley still, here it is. This was 2 years ago. Jason Kipnis continues to hit cleanup, and Leonis Martin is still the regular center fielder against righties, while Bobby Bradley is still in AAA. Makes a lot of sense. So we've been talking
that was 2 years ago?
Seasons. Yes, that was 2 years ago, 2019. So it was good to see him. He's again, you know, you can't get over how skinny he looks now, but he looked really good yesterday. I did see the ninth inning homer. I happened to switch back, and I saw the homer, went the opposite way off the lefty. Just get him up here and let him play. We've said this, you know, since spring training. This is the year to find out about guys like Bobby Bradley, Daniel Johnson, you know, the young, the 25, 26, yeah, Jake Bowers too. This is, I mean, we already knew this, and you know, I still come back to Tom Hamilton being on with us the week before the season started, saying, "What more do you need to see with him?"
Yeah,
and that's the Indians' play-by-play man.
That's a bad sign, right? Right. Well, yeah. I mean, when you go through the entire spring, and look, if we were just going on spring training alone, the spring training MVPs for the Indians were Logan Allen, Owen Miller, Bobby Bradley, and who am I missing? That was also great in the spring and then has been, and Andrés Giménez. So if you go by spring training MVPs, the Indians are 0-for-3 with an incomplete so far, at least. I mean, Logan Allen's a disaster, and now it sounds like he's hurt or something, and was pitching
trying
with...
He tried to pitch through. So, you know, it sucks because you feel bad for the kid in that instance because...
He's trying
to get his major league shot, and he doesn't want to be like, oh, I'm hurt. You know, he just tried those mistakes. Sorry, go ahead.
Right, but I'm just saying, all of the guys from the spring, you went, oh, my gosh, Logan Allen was dominating, definitely won the fifth job. You know, Andres is the shortstop, and he was the shortstop, like, very early in camp and impressing. And then
they gave it to him right away.
Right, and then he's in Columbus. And then, you know, Owen Miller, God bless him, he's trying. But, man, he cannot buy a hit. Even when he hit the ball hard, even in the last at bat yesterday, when it was 18-5, but still hit the ball sharply up the middle, but it got knocked down by the pitcher. I mean, he's hitting 129, so it's just, you know, if you're just going by the spring, I'm saying, you know, but Bobby Bradley, I mean, as Hammy told us, what more do you need to do? He's in shape. He's driving the baseball. He was good in the spring. Jake Bowers wasn't, but Bowers was out of options, and they gave him 2 months. But it's over, thank goodness.
Yeah, and you know what? It's time for Bobby to put up or shut up. This is it. This is his chance. Now Bowers is out of his organization, so it's not like he has to look over his shoulder. Yes, Josh Naylor's there. There's always the possibility that if Bradley flames out, Naylor moves to first. But as long as Framil Reyes is on the injured list, Bobby's going to get all the at-bats that he wants. So now's the time to take that opportunity and run with it. And granted, it was only five at bats, but it was a good start this weekend, and it was good to see him up. He's earned this. He has 100% earned the right to be here, and let's see what he has. I'm excited to see it. I really am.
And don't look at batting average in Columbus. I mean, the Indians at one point this year, their number two guy in OPS was Jordan Luplow, and he was hitting below 200. I mean, for people to go, well, he's better than batting average. I mean, Jose Ramirez is hitting 260, but he's the best player on our team, hands down. No one's batting average is that good. I mean, yeah, there are some that are in the 300s, and there are guys that are Mike Trouts of the world and otherwise, but let's see OPS. Let's see if guys can slug, and let's see if we can get some extra base hits. You know, the Indians lately, it's just been single, home run. Let's string some extra base hits together. Let's see some guys that should be driving the baseball drive it. I mean, Jake Bauer's got to stay, because every time we thought he was on the ropes, he'd come up with a two or three hit night of singles. You got to hit the ball
up this week, right?
What's that?
Look at Chang. Like Yu Chang this week, same thing. You had a great week for him.
Wasn't bad. Yeah, great week for him. Yes, not
but
bad.
Every time we think he's going to be sent down, this happens. It's literally the same thing as Bauer's. It's crazy. Meanwhile, I'm just looking at Owen Miller's numbers. Remember, he was 20 for 40 to start the AAA season?
Correct.
He's 5 for 42 with one walk and one extra base hit.
That was 5 for 42 at the big league level?
Yes. No, he's 5 hits and 42 at bats, and he's only walked once, and one of his hits was extra base.
No, but I know, but when he started 20 for 40 at Columbus, he then went like 3 for 17 before he got called up.
Correct. So if you add that back up, he's what, 8 for
59.
Yikes. 68. Poor Owen.
I mean, you got to keep playing him. He's going to hit.
Of course.
I think he's going to hit. The track record's there. I know it's the minor league level. You could say the same for Josh Naylor. But the poor kid. But again, he's right-handed, where normally a more left-handed dominant team. Teams are throwing lefties at us left and right. I mean, you look at what the Mariners are going to do next week. They could throw three left. If they wanted, because they kind of have six guys, they could throw a bunch of lefties at us if they wanted to. I mean, that seems to be the game plan. When the Indians were in like 2018, when we were way too lefty slanted, and it was like Lonnie was in the lineup and Kipnis, and there were just times when lefties would just eat us alive. We're kind of getting back to that. With Franmil out, Jose's better from the left side. Cesar's better from the left side. I know that Cesar hits home runs better from the right side, but it's an issue. That's what these managers are doing. They're bringing in lefties from the pen after starting lefties, and trying to hammer us with breaking stuff with change-ups. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. And I there really isn't any other move to be made. I mean, yeah, Daniel Johnson maybe, but like everything else, all the moves are made at this point, unless you're going to make some sort of a trade, and they're not going to trade to add like a big bat. Like that's just not going to happen. I think we know that. So
what about a right-handed power bat?
That's what we said about Harold.
We ripped Harold's defense. We've ripped Harold's defense to shreds, but his offense, he's scalding the ball.
He's fine when he's in the corner. He just shouldn't play center field ever. Every time he's in center field, he and whoever the right fielder are like running on top of each other, make catches. Every time.
But again, these guys didn't even work together during spring training much. That's the thing. It's like, you know, 1 minute Naylor's at first, 1 minute Naylor's in right, 1 minute Harold's in center, 1 minute Harold's in right. With Franmil out, now guys are DHing, which I think is good to keep them off their feet. But again, then you've got different guys at different spots. They're not used to working together. How many times did Ahmed Rosario turn a double play with Owen Miller during the spring? Hardly any, because Ahmed was in center field. I don't know what else can be done other than Tito saying, all right, Naylor, you're going to play first for like a week straight, or you're going to play right for a week straight. But again, the Indians also, two of their next four series are in National League parks, so someone can't play. So
everyone's favorite.
Yeah. So Shane Bieber will have to hit on Tuesday, which to me just like bunt the ball and jog. Like don't even swing.
Or don't swing. Yeah. Don't hurt yourself.
The whole thing is so stupid. But again, so who's the odd man out on Tuesday? So we're going to see two righties, right? So against the Cardinals, who sits? Naylor should be playing because he's a left-handed stick, but is Zimmer should be playing, but then, okay, who's playing? But Bobby should be playing. Okay, so I don't know who's going to sit.
Yeah.
You have to play Bobby Bradley. You have to.
You do. You absolutely do. And I think that he's going to be the regular first baseman against right-handed pitching, and you know, they'll probably rotate in him in DH and move Naylor first, and, you know, because Harold's got to play every day, too. Let's be honest. You got to play Harold right now, the way he's swinging the bat.
Yeah, so Harold's going to be in center field for the first two games.
Against lefty, absolutely he will.
Against righties. But I'm saying in National League parks, because we need offense and we're going to automatically have automatic outs. We're going to have, Zimmer will be the odd man out. Because
they'll use everybody, though. Let's be honest. You know how this is.
But I'm saying how they start the games. Because you have an automatic out in the eighth spot at catcher, and then you'd have an automatic out in the ninth spot with a pitcher.
Can't get back. Berto, listen, I love Austin Hedges defensively. And he did go deep. Brooke and I went to the game Tuesday night, and we saw him in a home run, and we both couldn't believe it. She's like, you believe this? Austin Hedges actually went deep. I'm like, yeah. It was good.
I mean, this team takes 2 out of 3 from the White Sox, but they can't beat Baltimore. Just makes no sense. Did we get swept by the Mariners, or did we beat the Mariners once earlier in the year?
We went to Seattle. It was a four-game set. And they were, I don't think we got swept.
We won the first one. Four. Yeah, we won the first one. It would Plesac had the near no-hitter and lost the last three. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we can't beat Minnesota, who stinks. They draw. We lose 2 out of 3 to them, but then we beat the White Sox 2 out of 3.
Yeah, it's just a strange team. But, again, they're right there, 31-26. 5 games over.
All right. Pitching matchups, let's get into that. I think we touched on everything. I mean, what else is there to say?
I got to run in 3 minutes anyway. So.
All right, so tomorrow night, so we got Tuesday, so no game tonight. God, these nights with no games are killing me. Although I'm doing the night show tonight on 92.3 The Fan. Tune in, everybody.
Oh, I definitely will.
From 7 to midnight.
You're Chico, huh?
I am, and then I think I'm on Wednesday morning with Ken.
Oh, yes. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. So
my favorites.
So Tuesday in St. Louis, 8:15 start time. Bieber against Carlos Martinez, who, you know, years ago was supposed to be like the second coming, and he really hasn't been. So that's a righty. And then Mejia on Wednesday against Adam Wainwright. Wasn't it last year we kind of lit up Wainwright a little bit, or did he beat us? I think he beat us.
It was last year because we played Central only.
We played in St. Louis last year, too. Remember?
You know, this is one of those trips that if it was non-pandemic, I mean, like, listen, I'm vaccinated, and at this point, you know, I'm going to be, I'll travel again whenever. But, like, this is one of those I would have circled on the calendar and been like, I'm going to St. Louis for a work trip. I'm going to go, you know, go see a customer and then go see the tribe twice. My boy, shout out to my boy Dan Fryman, big Cardinals slap season ticket holder.
Is that Travis's brother?
No relation, actually, believe it or not. But yeah, I totally would have gone. And that's what I miss. I want to go see the Indians in other people's stadiums.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so that's
we got against the Mariners.
So two, and then Mariners Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, Seattle, they claim that the Justin Dunn's coming off the DL and will pitch in one of those games. He's a right-hander, young kid, youngish.
Finvold coming off the DL?
That's right. Yusei Kikuchi, the left-hander, he could be available. Logan Gilbert pitched Sunday. He'll likely pitch in that series, the rookie right-hander.
Wait, there's a guy named Logan Gilbert?
Yeah, you remember. We pitched again.
Gilbert Lowe? What about Gilbert Lowe?
From Revenge of the Nerds? That's right.
Yeah. Can't believe his name's Logan Gilbert. Oh, that's the rookie that we made the major league
debut against us. And we actually did pretty well against him. We also could see Marco Gonzalez, who's a lefty. He pitches Tuesday. So if they wanted to pitch two lefties against us, they could. They could maneuver their rotation a certain way because they are off on Monday. And Dunn's coming off the DL. So Savali, you'd figure, would pitch Friday because he hasn't pitched since Saturday. And then I don't know who would pitch Saturday. but then Sunday would be Bieber again. So Savali and Bieber would pitch in two of those games against Seattle. The question is, who pitches on Saturday? Like you said, McKenzie just pitched, so if they held him out...
on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So, which was yesterday.
So he could pitch Saturday. So you line it up that way and see how it goes. I would figure he'd be back up by then. You know,
it'll be interesting to see how they do it.
Yeah, I would figure Savali Friday, McKenzie Saturday, and Bieber Sunday. So, but you got Seattle for three, then Baltimore for four, and then at Pittsburgh for three. These next series after St. Louis. Now, St. Louis, I don't know how much you watch NL ball. You know I do. The Cardinals can hit, man. Like the middle of their order with Goldie, Arenado, and this Tyler O'Neill, who has 13 home runs, all right-handed bats, but that 3-4-5 is pretty good. So
it reminds me of when we hit Harold cleanup and Owen Miller fifth.
What about the R factor? Ramirez, Rosario, and Harold Ramirez, Rosario. That's right. Yes. So and Eddie, it's good to see Eddie hitting a little bit. It's nice to have. He seems to have woken up a bit. I know not fully yet, but he's woken up a little bit.
Would be nice if he was the Eddie of old. They could use it, especially without Franmil.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Dairy Brothers Tribecast brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry and, of course, BreakingTea.com. We will talk to you again next week. Go Tribe.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.